Latest update on Ray. He, and I think you probably all know, he's at home there on the hospice. And talked to Betty yesterday. He's able and willing and wants to see visitors. Please give him, if you can't visit him, please give him a call. And their Thanksgiving meal is taken care of completely, so you can mark them off your list if it was on anybody's list. And I hope that everybody now has someone, if there's a need out there, that we're meeting that need. We got more people coming in now, but they wanted some of Peggy's rolls. Mm-hmm. So Suzanne's going to make some rolls. For Ray. In addition, but they've got a complete meal, so we don't have to worry about that. Don't forget Joanne and Ray. They're not here this morning. She did tell us last week that they plan on being here. So check up on them and tell them we missed them this morning. Dolores Hoosier, I know Savannah's out there. She's not here. Wesley told me that he had someone assigned to do that. But obviously they didn't use the van if they did go to pick her up. Who else are we missing this morning? We were missing Charlotte. Charlotte came back. I should have said all right as she came in.
Carla's not here.
Yeah, Carla's not here this morning. So whatever's going around, we need to make sure that we don't catch it, and then we check on those people who are not here. Okay, we're then going into Proverbs. We're up to finishing chapter 17, so we're bound to have some wiser people here in class. So let's get into chapter, I think we stopped at chapter, on verse 26 and 17, so we're going to pick up on 27 and 28. It says, he that spareth his words hath knowledge, and he that is of cool spirit is a man of understanding. We know that that understanding in Proverbs means common sense. He that spareth his words, in other words, he that speaks up only when it's appropriate. That's a problem that we all have sometimes. We'll speak out when we don't have all the facts, or it's not the right time to speak out. So we want to be mindful that when we do speak, we only speak when it's appropriate, but when we do speak, that we have given it a lot of thought, a lot of wisdom before we, well, that those words come out of our mouth. When he says that he is of a cool spirit, he is of a calm spirit, a tranquil spirit, a godly spirit. That's what they're talking about there. And I like this verse 28. It says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Mm-hmm. Another way of saying, even a fool, even when he keeps his mouth shut, until he speaks, is counted wise. Popped it again. Well, I'll find it when I get it here. There it is right here.
Any problems? They popping over there.
Okay. Anybody got any comments about that? Talking about two things here. Patience before you speak. Watch what you speak. And then having a calm temper. Don't let that temper get involved in your conversation. Anybody got any comments about that? Before we go on to chapter 18 of Proverbs. 18:1. He that separateth himself seeketh his own desire and regardeth and rageth against all sound wisdom, is the way mine reads. And rageth against all sound wisdom. Remember this. Any man that wishes to separate himself from former friends will seek some pretext for doing that. He'll find an excuse for doing that, for whatever he's looking for. But his behavior during that time is not godly. Sometimes people will say, I'm going out of here, I want to be alone, I don't want to associate with you, don't call me anymore. You don't separate yourself from your friends without giving them a reason and then talking over that reason. You just don't do it without making up false excuses of why you're doing it. And some people are like that. They just want to be lonely. We got a gang coming in there. Dolores is making it, by the way. So she's coming in with the whole gang. I'm going to hold off until they get in here. Glad to see that somebody did pick her up. Get here. Good morning. Hey, girl. How you doing, honey? How you doing? Hi, sweetheart. How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Hey, girl.
Hey,
morning. Morning, sir.
It's fun preaching, man. That's good. Good to see you. Good to see you. Hey, Miss Barbara. Hey, Miss Barbara. How you doing, man?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in Proverbs 18, by the way. We're just really starting. We're going through the first verse. We're going to hit into the second verse right now. Here comes Miss Carla. We were wondering where Miss Carla was. Proverbs 18, second verse. Good morning, Miss Carla. Or did we say all rise? Good to see you. Verse 2 of chapter 18 of Proverbs. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but only that his heart may reveal itself. Again, if you got to know what understanding means, it's common sense in Proverbs. A fool that has no delight in common sense, but only that his heart may reveal itself, only that his pleasures, his worth, his value is repeated and won't put it on display. Yeah.
My translation here kind of gives the understanding that fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to add their own opinion.
Add their own. We'll give you their opinion. No. Yeah, their worth. Their worth.
They have no thought for thoughtful discourse. All they do is run off at the mouth.
And we've heard that phrase before, too, having to run off at the mouth. That's a good explanation what the author was trying to point out here. Anybody else got any comments about that? These are the things you want to put into your memory bank. These are the things that are going to make you wise. Number 3, when the wicked cometh, there cometh also contempt, and with ignominy cometh reproach. Wicked, contempt, ignominy, and reproach all mean shame. It says when the shame cometh, there comes contempt. When ignominy cometh and reproach comes, there's contempt. The three companions that go together, if you find one, you'll find probably all three of them in someone's personality. Romans 8:4 gives you the three opposites of these, by the way, that we want today. When God calls, he justifies, and whom he justifies, he glorifies. So just opposites of the three shameful things that you could have in your character.
Here in my translation says scandalous behavior.
Scandalous behavior, shameful
behavior.
Well,
that really says it all right there.
Uh-huh. Shameful behavior. That's good. That's picked up on that one. Anybody else got any comment on that? Number 4, The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook. And a lot of the scriptures in the Old Testament, deep waters represented darkness. When you get into the flowing book part of the wisdom of the flowing book, your best explanation of that would have been John 7:37-38, and Jesus pointed out that that's where the Holy Spirit comes from like a flowing brook. It's not too many Old Testament scriptures that would give a very favorable thing of definition of deep waters. I got Psalm 59:2, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs 20:23. It doesn't say anything bad about deep waters. It's just there's a mystery in deep water, but in the flowing brook, it's a gift. As Jesus pointed out, where the Holy Spirit derives from. Okay. Number 5, to respect the persons of the wicked is not good, nor to turn aside righteous in judgment. You don't give praise and you don't give honor to wicked people if you know that they're wicked. Nor do you turn aside when someone is being righteous and give them a bad reflection on them. You don't condemn someone for having made good decisions or good comments. It's not good to show favor to the wicked, nor to deprive the righteous of justice. Number 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for stripes. I've heard somebody once would say to you, them are fighting words. And lips can cause fights. And lips do cause, and words do cause fights. And sometimes it ends up into someone getting hurt, the blows. Punishment comes out for the words that come out of your mouth by someone that's offended by them. So don't have fool's lips, and don't do it because you're liable to get stripes for it. Yeah.
My comments here that I found, it says that he would rather argue and contradict than humble himself in instruction. I mean, I don't care how much you know, you can still learn, and you can still teach with compassion instead of standing there and arguing with it. I would rather just keep quiet instead of argue over something.
And most time when a fool starts an argument, he's calling for a beating or he's calling for conflict. It's just crazy to do that. When there's peace in front of you and you just want to agitate to the point that someone gets mad enough that they want to throw blows, that's foolish. That's foolish talk, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Want to be careful about that. Any comments? Number 7, a fool's mouth, continuing on with the talk, by the way, a fool's mouth is his destructions, and his lips are the snare of his soul. That untamable tongue is going to get you in trouble. It's going to get you in trouble. It's just a repeat. And as we pointed out many times, proverb repeats itself for a purpose. It repeats itself so that we'll absorb it, that we'll remember it. And it repeats itself so you might have heard it this way and said, well, that only means it this way, but then Proverbs will tell you another way. Just don't do it at all. There's no exceptions to getting in an argument with someone with your mouth.
You know, it's scary when you think about it, because fools are undone by their big mouth. Their souls are crushed by their words.
Sometimes a little mouse can get you, so that's a big mouse. How about number 8? The words of a whisperer are as dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts. How often is whispering or about somebody or gossip about somebody, we want to see, we just want to absorb it, and then we have the tendency to want to pass it on, be the first to pass it on, as if we're coming up with something new. You know, Proverbs told us since before we ever got to this chapter, if you pass it on about somebody else, they'll do it to you too. They'll do the same thing to you. They'll whisper about you. It's bad enough to listen to it. It's even worse to pass it on. Just don't be the one of them. Don't be a listener and don't be a passer on. Anybody coming? See, the way I told you, we're getting wise. Y'all absorbing all this stuff. And number 9, going back to laziness. Remember, Proverbs has talked about this over and over about being lazy. He also that is slack in his work is a brother to him that is destroyer. If you're lazy in your work, then your next step or your brother to that problem is having something and just throwing it away, being a fool about it, squandering what you work for. If you're slack in your work, you're more than apt to be lazy or foolish about what you gain, about what you have. Anybody need a better understanding of that, or has a better understanding of that? Yes, sir.
In aviation industry, I'm sure you can appreciate that everyone who has anything to do with the maintenance and upkeep of that aircraft is not slack in doing that work. Because if they were slack and didn't install the right part or do the right calibration, which we found out in some instances the software was not correct, and it has huge ramifications for a lot of people. And that comes down to just us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're slack in our responsibility and obligations, it affects other people. unfortunately, the outcome may be something very severe.
You know, Chuck, when you have an assembly line where you have cars coming down by the hundreds of thousands of them, and 99% of them perform up to standards, and that 1% fails in all kind of areas, it has to be a slack worker and that is not doing his job or didn't do his job.
Or Friday at closing time.
Yep. Right.
Or not enough workers. They want to put the product out, but they don't have enough workers to do the proper work. It's not all the time someone being lazy, not in today's world when it comes to stuff like that. It's the person who owns this big company want all the money, and I can get this done with less workers. So it's something that's going to be missing if you don't have the proper
staff
for it.
Y'all don't agree with that up to point, but if 99% of them perform well, then why would only 1%? Somebody's not doing the job. And it might be because there's not enough people there. But 99% of the time they did the job, but 1% of the time they didn't do the job. And that could go on for faulty brakes. We have cars catching on fire. But not all of them do it. But 1% of them will do it. And that means that somebody, somewhere, didn't do the same job that the car that went before them, after them did. Okay. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. Now, let me go back up one. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. God is our refuge. Always remember that. And when the world is against us, when you think the world is against us, you can always turn to God. As long as He's got your back, you really can't be defeated. So God takes care of you in His fortress. Then you get into verse 11. The rich man's wealth is in his strong city, and as a high wall in his own imagination. He thinks his money can buy him protection. He thinks his money can protect him from not only outside harm. I was thinking it's better than saving his own soul, or saving his soul. But that falsehood there in the latter part is that all in your mind up here. That strong city or that fortress is not there for you. It's just what you think is there. Fool, this night shall be required of your souls, God said when they turned against him. Put all this stuff away. Think you got it all made. He says, thy fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor, with humility. I'd refer you to go back to, let's go back to 16, 18 in Proverbs, because it explains that same thing. Go back to 16, 18. Let's look at that again. In Proverbs told us before, pride goeth before destructions, and haughty spirit before fall. Being shameful with pride will end in destructions, and only humility will catch you before you fall. We've had several verses on that very same topic by this time, so I'm hoping this is starting to sink in. He that giveth an answer before he heareth is a folly and shame unto him. How many times have you been interrupted? Say, I know what you're getting ready to say.
I know.
Then you come on and tell them your version of it. I know. I can tell by your face what you're getting ready to say. We're not possessed with that gift to know someone's mind or their heart. We've got to listen to what they have to say before we open our mouth. It's almost, it is shameful to interrupt somebody while they're talking and say, I got a better wording for what you want to say. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I find that I think it happens to older married couples who've been together for a while. Someone would want to say something, and the next thing you know, that other person is answering it for you.
That happens.
Oh, it does.
It does happen. I say it does.
Why go on? I already know.
Wait, he might say it wrong.
But you know, if you're the one trying to answer, and that happens, you know, it's not funny to them that when you do that, it really isn't.
And you're
faking a gift that you don't have. You don't have that gift. We think we know someone well enough that we can speak for them, but you know, this line in some verses, it's not scriptural verses, but it says, be tolerant of the dull and ignorant, for they too have a story to tell. Everybody has their own story. Nobody's above another story. Their story is just as important as my story or your story. Let them tell it. And then give a response after you've digested what they had to say. That's one we need to definitely want to put into our memory bank. We do not have that gift to read somebody's mind. Number 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit, who can bear? If you have a good spirit within you, it will sustain you during times when you're having trials and tribulations. And when I say spirit, I always think of Kathy. When Kathy comes in here, she goes, she's full of spirit. But if you have a broken spirit, you know, I think medically this has been proven. If you're upbeat, you'll heal faster than you will be if you're downbeat. Is it something to that than that?
That you positivity will get you a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, positivity during your illness will help your body heal. I mean, God intended for it to be that way. Yeah, Chuck.
You can tell when in certain circumstances you come up upon a person, you can tell that the fire is gone, that the will to survive is gone. So part of that is being with the relationship that you have with the Father. That you understand that His will be done, mm-hmm. but He's also a loving God, a caring God, and that His purpose for you may not be over, but in your mind, if you don't have that positivity, if you don't have that connection with the Lord, with your loved ones, if it's not genuine, people just give up because they don't have that fire, that desire.
Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Repeat itself to put into our memory bank. I'm going to discuss in that one. Yeah.
It brings you back to, I believe it was Paul who had a sickness and prayed God over and over to take it from him. And he said, no, because in your weakness, my power is revealed.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask ourselves, should we complain and fuss about it because we're sick and oh, woe is me, and instead we should remember that through our faith in God, even during the hard times, His power is really revealed within us.
Yeah, it's sad when you get around people who are ill and suffering. I mean, I'm talking about people who are really suffering, and their spirit is gone, because it's almost like they have given up, you know. And because we're not in their situation and we're not enduring exactly what they have, but if it was in a way we could get that spirit back into them, then they have a better chance of healing and getting well.
Jerry, would you say in that, if there were any way, in having conversations with some people lately, and when we talk about our prayer list, I'm finding that praying for that, these verses that we just talked about, and about the mind, and then going to Proverbs 17:22. If we don't have anything else to offer our brothers and sisters who are not feeling well, is that their spirit will be strong for them to get through that. I've talked with, like I said, a couple people, and I didn't think I had anything to give them, but prayer was something we shared, and I'm finding that don't pray for them. I guess not that they shouldn't get over their illness, but that they have the ability to get through their illness.
Amen.
And the strength. So,
amen.
And because, like, some people I just can't see because of my work schedule, but I got prayer 24 hours a day when I'm up, maybe 17. But yeah, so as a body, we can do that to help our brothers and sisters get through what they are going through. Because, like you said, we don't know what they're going through, but that they have the spirit to.
God wants us to have a positive spirit. He wants us to be joyful. But sometimes we don't recognize it. know, how blessed we are. We get down, and then it just keeps going down. Mm-hmm. If we don't stop at things, say, God help, I need your help. Right. I need to get better. Yeah.
I think even when you have long-term illnesses, we still need to focus on the blessings we have instead of being constantly consumed by your illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Counting our blessings. Mm-hmm. Too often we don't do that, did you?
Understand that God has given us direction and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And once we come to understand that, which is written in His Word, the guidance that He gives us, hopefully we come to that understanding and that compassion that we have every reason to be happy mm-hmm. in whatever circumstance mm-hmm. that we may find ourselves, and that it's not just empty words. You're not beating your chest and I'm Superman. No, it's because of what God has provided through me, for me, by Him, for His glory, not for mine, for His glory. And sometimes God will discipline us and humble us
right.
to the point where, yeah, you're physically suffering
mm-hmm.
because you need to learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You need to refocus your life and grab and hang on to Him and look to Him. Again, it's for Him that finally, as we mature in our faith, that yes, we have every reason to be joyful, and it's real, it's sincere, it's not circumstantial, it's not based on the moment, it's the realization that God has everything under His control. He is everything. That we are blessed and fortunate to exist in what He created. We had nothing to do with His creation. We're just part of it.
We failed the song said, count your blessings, name them one by one. We failed to do that enough. Well, we want more. God, give us, yes, help me do this. Get me over this. We want more, but we don't count. Number 15, the heart of a prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. That both of those is signs of wisdom, obtaining wisdom, to have those attributes. If you want to be wise, then you seek knowledge, and knowledge will add to your ability to be prudent later, too, also. That's a characteristic. Okay. Number 16. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. We all always think of a gift in this manner, that a man's wealth, a man's ability to give will open doors for him. It's just a fact of humanity. If you're a benevolent person, you can open a lot of doors if you have the wherewithal to do that. And it will open doors to great people or great opportunities. It's just a fact of life, a man's gift. And when we're not talking about monetary gifts, then we're talking about your relationship with someone. Your godly relationship with someone will open a lot of doors for you. Your people will recognize that God's within you, and then you'll find out that you'll have an effect on their life. Comments on that? 17, he that pleadeth his cause first seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him out. I've rephrased that proverb. My argument against my friend was very convincing until he had a chance to speak. I always give you my side. Never give you his side. I always give you my side. I might even exaggerate my side a little bit since he's not here to contradict me. But when he has a chance to say his side, then you'll find out who's telling the truth. Remember that. A lot of people will come up to you, want your attention, want your support, want you to be their friend because of such and such. Well, find out the other side and then make your decision. Too often we are put in a position where we think we got to make a decision right then and there. And that'll get us in trouble. That'll get some trouble. That's one of my lodged back in my mind. I hope I lodged a bunch of these back in my mind, but that's one that comes to mind. Number 18. The lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. We know in the Old Testament that that's how they made a lot of decisions. And evidently they had God's blessing on them. We as Christians now want to find out for sure before we make a decision. That's what wisdom is all about. That's why God had the book of Proverbs made available to us, that we can learn how to get wisdom. In fact, the last disciple was chosen by drawing lots. But we see no evidence in the New Testament that that's how we're to make decisions. But we do know we're supposed to have wisdom and seek counsel when we make decisions. Yeah.
But again, it seems to me that when the circumstance again would present itself and all the facts are made known, all the information is available, and there's still a you're stuck. There's no evidence for this or for that. They're both equal. And so there, to me, that's the perfect time to go to prayer, cast lots.
Go to prayer, yeah. Let me go back to 16:33, I believe it is. Because it covered that very same subject.
The lot is cast into the lap, but if every decision is from the Lord.
Got the same subject matter on that. When nothing else avails, we've done what God asked us to do. There's no other better choice than that. Okay. Number 16. A man's gifts make it room for him. No, we've had that one. Number 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And such contentions are like the bars of a castle. Once those words have come out of your mind, and your actions have offended someone, you just don't erase them by saying, I'm sorry. You do say, I'm sorry, but just don't be wise and don't do them in the first place. You know, just don't have to go around saying, I'm sorry. Just be wiser about the things we say and what we do. Because once you offended him, he might say, okay, but it's still in his memory bank. You can't erase the memory bank. It says, help your brother, and he will protect you like a strong city. But if you quarrel with him, he'll close the doors on you. He'll close the doors. All because of this stuff that we let come out of our mouth.
My explanation to the verse here says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city.
Right.
And their contentions are like the bars of a castle.
Right. Number 20. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. So where that mouth can get you in trouble, that mouth can also provide for you if used properly. If you have a good relationship with friends, you're able to plead your cause, then we shouldn't be going hungry, and God will bless us that we will find food, and that you will be happy over that. Wise words. We want to say wise words. That's all the time we got for today on this lesson here. So we're going to close it. And then we'll pick it up at the next lesson time. And hopefully get into chapter 18. We're fast getting through. Although we've been on about 3 or 4 months now, we're fast getting through the Proverbs. And we're going to have some wise people. Oh, we got wise people here. Thank y'all for the class. Thank y'all.
Thank you.